Hi.
Hello.
Welcome to I Have a Strange Story.
I Have a Strange Story podcast.
This is the show where two sisters retell your strange and paranormal experiences. My name is Rebecca.
I'm Lindsay.
And today we're going to be talking about the Three Kings ritual and Lindsay's pet psychic experience. But first of all, if you're new here, welcome. Please make sure to subscribe and follow us. That way you can keep up with all these spooky stories. And if you have your own paranormal experience to share, please send it to ihaveastrangestorypodcast@gmail.com. And we would be so happy to share it on our show. So thanks for being here.
100%.
100%. Yeah. That's what we do on this show. So first of all, do we have any announcements today?
Well, my announcement is actually the conversation I had with a pet psychic.
Yeah.
But then I have another story that I'm going to tell.
Okay.
Okay. So do you want me to do my announcement
first?
Yeah,
if you want, go ahead.
Of course. Okay. So I think this is really funny because in the last show, I believe, I talked about the book, There's No Sad Dogs in Heaven. Mm-hmm. And so I recently had to put my poor baby Ruckus to sleep, for those of you who've been listening for a long time. But before I did it, I really wanted to talk to the person who had written that book. And her name is Sonia Fitzgerald. And some of you may recognize the name immediately, but I didn't know who she was. So I looked her up and she was completely booked, but I just messaged them and I was like, hey, if you have any openings, I would really like to talk to Sonia because I'm about to have to put my dog to sleep. And they worked me in because they said it was really important for me to get to have that experience, which I really appreciate. But Sonia Fitzgerald had a show on Animal Planet for years. So like everybody knows who she is. She was a pet psychic on Animal Planet. And so that's who wrote the book. And she actually talked to me a little bit about the book. She said that she hates writing books, but she wanted to write one that would, help a lot of people. And that's why she wrote There Are No Sad Dogs in Heaven. But so I talked to her the day before, Ruckus passed on to his next journey. But there were a few things that she told me that were so striking that I thought, you can't make this up. And Sonia didn't ask a bunch of questions. Sonia just started talking. And I guess it was also Ruckus. Ruckus was like talking her ear off immediately once we were on the call together. But there's a few things that she said that I was like, you can't make this up. So she said, and this is what Ruckus was telling her. Ruckus told her that I cleaned all the time and that I would clean and I would sit down and then I would get up and start cleaning again, which is very true. And you just can't make that up. You can't assume that I'm a clean person. You can't assume that I'm doing that stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And then he also told her that I always change my sheets, which is true. And he always helps me change my sheets because I'd put them on the bed with me as I did it and like move them around as I like put on the sheets and everything. Yeah. And he said one of his favorite things was that I let him watch TV while we were going to sleep. And so, I know it's going to make me cry. So I always had on like ASMR or something. And I don't think a lot of people have TVs in their bedrooms anymore. Like, I feel like I'm usually one of the only people that have a TV. Again, you can't make this shit up.
Yeah.
And he watched TV. Mm-hmm. I would look at him and he would be staring at the TV. I swear to God, he was watching it. And so he told her that he really loved that. And then he also said, thank you for not wiping my face. He was like, I fucking hate it. And I'm so happy that you don't wipe my face, that you just recognize that I don't like it, so you don't, which was very true.
Yeah.
And he would always sometimes have, he had a liquid medication that he took, so he would have like a red drop somewhere. And people would be like, what's on his face? And I was like, it's just his medication. He doesn't like for me to wipe his face. So, but like even the pictures I sent of Ruckus, he didn't have the medication on his face. There was no way for her to know that I didn't do that. So like those were pretty cool things that I thought that like you can't make it up. And she told me other things that were really personal and I probably won't share.
Yeah.
But it was a really good experience.
Yeah.
And if you can talk to her, I recommend that you do. If you're looking to talk to an animal that has passed or maybe is going to pass or whatever it may be, because I do think for myself, at least, it was very helpful and it helped put me at peace a little bit before I had to let him go. But that was my update. I mean, I talked to fucking Sonia Fitzgerald.
You talked Everybody to a knows celebrity. Who she is but me. Yeah.
She is a celebrity. Yeah. It was pretty crazy.
That is crazy.
And like they fit me in. I mean, I think they really care. They fit me in because they knew it was important. Yeah. So I appreciate that. So thanks, you know, to Sonia Fitzgerald and her team and for talking a little baby ruckus.
That's really sweet. I love that. I love that you were able to do that. Whenever you told me, I was like, I am so jealous because like, I think that's what I had wanted whenever like my dog was dying. But yeah. I don't mean to say that I'm jealous. Like I'm angry that you got to do it. Like, I'm just so happy that you got to do it. Like, yeah. It's so cool. It's such a cool experience. And especially to know that she fit you in, that she was like, this needs to be done and we're going to get it done. So that's very kind of her.
She's very kind. She was very sympathetic. She was very understanding. And I think that everybody struggles, I think, when you're putting your animal to sleep for their next journey. And whenever I was talking to her, I was struggling. Yeah. And she said something that was very impactful. And I feel like everybody has said it in a certain way, but I'm kind of weird. And she said it very succinctly to where I heard it very well. But I just told her that I was fearful that I was putting him to sleep too early. Mm. And she said, it's better too early than too late. And I was like, duh.
Yeah.
Like that's so true. Yeah. That is like, so that's also good information to share with folks too. It's better to do it too early than too late, which too late is always my fear as well. Mm,
definitely.
But yeah, that was it. So that's my kind of sad announcement, but good announcement too, because she also explained to him what was going to happen and, he liked knowing what was going to happen.
Yeah.
So there's good in there too. Sorry. I know it's hard to hear.
Gonna need a moment. Oh gosh.
I know.
Well, that was a good announcement. I think that everybody probably is sending you their sympathy and your support and condolences. So, I'm going to try to move on.
Yeah, sorry.
It's okay. Like, it's hard to come away from this without being teary-eyed. Like, he's been in the family for a long time. He was my little nephew. So, So, I have a cool experience that I had that I haven't told you about. And a couple, like, weeks ago, I took a nap. I just laid down after work. And I fell asleep instantly. And then I started to have a lucid dream.
Oh.
I know. And so I got to this room and I was like sitting down in this chair and I was looking forward at something and I was like, oh, I'm lucid now. I'm going to sit up in this chair and I'm going to go walk around. And as soon as I did, the thing that I was looking at, like went whoosh, like it, you know, like in movies, whenever they're supposed to be running in a hall and the hall just expands. That's exactly
all you had to do was that sound. Like I knew exactly what happened. Yeah.
And so I saw it and I said, okay, well, I guess I'm not getting up. And then everything around me shifted and it turned black. So like the dream that I was in just went away and I was in this darkness and I heard noises at this point. And so there was sound all around me and I describe it kind of like a cloud that I was in of noises and static and like frequency and lots of voices. And I've been in this space before and it's usually whenever I lay down to take like a short nap and it's whenever I'm really tired and I fall asleep instantly. So in the past, whenever I'd gone into this experience, I know exactly where I am. I know where my body is. I know what's going on, everything. And I just sit there and I just listen to this noise. And I can never make out any voices, what they're saying, but I know that there's a lot of voices. In this particular instance, there was like music, there was like bells, there was ringing. And then I feel like something kind of parted through the cloud. And it was these voices that kind of sounded like cheerleaders. And I mean that in a sense of like, they were so fucking happy. They were like, you did it. We did it. We're here. And they were like, we're so proud of you. And then they said something like, And I couldn't make it out, but it was like, we heard you and we're going to, and you're going to get this. And I didn't know what, you know, I just listened to this and they kept on like encouraging me and telling me how proud they were of me. And they called me Becky Babe and I started like kind of laughing.
Yeah.
And I felt myself laughing and then they continued like just telling me like, that I'm doing great, that they were proud of me. And then they turned into like a Japanese like anime song.
Okay.
And then I woke up. But the thing is like, I knew where I was the entire time. Like I knew where my body was. I knew that my dog was on my bed. I knew that I was in my bed. But like, I was just in this state where I was also somewhere else. It was really cool. And yeah.
Was it like a game show or was it like do 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 ba do 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 do? That's right.
You did the Sailor Moon song.
I did the Sailor Moon, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was just like they started singing in Japanese.
Huh.
Yeah, I guess I don't know where that came from.
I love that because that was anime was such a big part of your life.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, and I just felt
so I think that's pretty cool.
I just felt so good afterwards. Like it was just so exciting and so impactful and it was just really nice to have, like, I feel like they were kind of like my spirit team, you know? Like, they came through and they see all the work that I'm putting into, like, my lucid dream process and, or journey, and they're, anyways, it was just cool. It was a really neat experience, and, yeah, so I have a question for you, Lindsay, and I want you just to think about it. I don't want you to tell me it, but... is there a question that you could ask that you would get the answer for? Like, what would it be? Don't tell me, just think about it. You can think about it for a while because I'm going to tell you that you have the opportunity to have this question answered, but you have to go through a ritual.
Okay.
Okay. So this is called the Three Kings Ritual, and it's a game that was popularized on Reddit like 10 years ago. And so there's some iffy points about it, right? Like, we don't know if this is just made up or if this is actually an ancient type of game.
Okay.
But it's a way to contact spirits to ask a question, and there's very specific rules that you follow. And so I'm going to just go into it a little bit, but basically you have three chairs that you set up and a mirror in each chair. And I know. And then I'm like, Lindsay doesn't want to play this game. and the premise of it is that you are the king and an entity is going to enter into each mirror and one's going to be a queen and one's going to be a fool, but you don't know which is which and they don't know that you're the king. They think that you're the king. Okay. They think that, you know, one of them is basically going to be telling the truth and one is going to be a lie. Does this remind you of Labyrinth?
Okay.
One of us always tells the truth.
Now that you say that, it does. Yeah.
That's the only thing that I thought about whenever I was reading this. And so they say that you can do this, but you kind of have to take it as with a grain of salt, just as in any type of, you know, messaging that you get. You're always, something may come through that does not resonate with you and that doesn't feel good to you. So same thing with this. But the thing is, you just don't know if they're telling you the truth or not. You have to go with your gut instinct. So there's a way to do this, and you have to have certain tools. One of them is a room that is dark. So if there's any windows, it needs to be completely blacked out. Okay. You need to have three chairs. You need to have an assistant. So somebody there that cares about you, a candle, a lighter, matches, a bucket of water, plus a mug or a cup for the water, an electric fan, two decent size mirrors, so not just small little compact ones, a cell phone or alarm clock, and a small item of sentimental value with you.
Okay.
And you have to set up this ritual at 11 o'clock at night. You go in there, you set up the chairs so that you've got yours facing north. And then the other two chairs are facing each other with the mirrors, and the mirrors are sitting up like at a, you know, perpendicular to each other.
Okay.
Yeah. One of them is the queen's chair and one of them is the fool's chair. And then you have to, after you get everything set up, you need to leave the room and leave the door open. So here's the other, like the next part of it is that you have to go to bed, set your alarm for 3:30, get up, take your sentimental value and sentimental piece of value in there with you, light your candle, you hold your candle, you turn the fan on that's behind you onto a low or medium setting. And then the bucket of water and the cup are at your feet, but just out of reach.
Okay.
You have to be set up in this room by 3:30 a.m. And if anything goes wrong, if your person doesn't wake up, if your alarm doesn't go off, if the door is closed, if anything is out of sorts, you have to leave the house. And you cannot be back until 6 a.m.
No.
I know, right?
I don't want to do this. I'm already scared because the mirrors are involved.
I know.
So, like, I was out. As soon as you said mirrors, I was like, nah.
Well, that's what I was thinking, too.
I'm not doing it.
Yeah. But if you have everything set up, then you go into the room, you hold your candle, and you are guarding this candle's flame from the fan blowing behind you. And so if your candle goes out, you need to leave. You got to get out. And then you get to sit there and you get to ask your question. Although you cannot look at the mirrors. You have to look straight ahead.
This sounds awful. This is awful.
I know. I don't know. Like, so at this point, you're going to ask your question and two spirits are supposed to come through each mirrors. And then you set like a timer, like your person sets your timer and you've got your sentimental piece on you somehow. I'm doing this because mine, I know, would be my necklace, a necklace that I have. Uh-huh. And so you set your timer. It's you're in this room for an hour. You have this experience. You either get your questions answered or you don't. And then after an hour, your assistant needs to open the door and call your name. And that's going to end the ceremony, the ritual. If it doesn't, then they have to call you on your cell phone. If that doesn't work, then they need to come into the room without touching you and pour the water on your head. This just doesn't sound fun.
No.
Yeah, so there's a lot of different rules about it. And if that doesn't work too, then there's the sentimental value piece, like that's supposed to help guide you out of the room.
Okay.
So you have all of these different like ways to get out of it, but there's very firm rules with it too. And you don't want to break those rules. And I don't know what happens if you break those rules. You just need to get out. So I've actually heard a couple of paranormal experiences with this. And one of them, the person did it, but they didn't have a person with them. But they tried all these other things. They did the phone. They did the valuable piece to them. And they said that nothing happened. They asked their questions and they just sat there and they were bored and nothing happened. And so it ended. They didn't get anything out of it. But this other person said that they had a pretty massive experience. And this is why hearing this person's experience makes me feel like I could do this. And I don't know if it would change your mind or not, but I'm going to go into it. So keep your question in mind if you could have anything answered. And after you hear this, let me know if you would still do, if you would do this or not. So this guy, he decided that he wanted to do it. So he went to his girlfriend's house who had a dance studio that had no windows. And they set up the chairs. They set up the mirrors. They did everything right. They went to bed. And like while they were going to bed, they decided to watch a movie so that they would feel good. And come 3:30 in the morning, they got up. He sat in the chair. He lit his candle. He guarded the flame. And he asked his question. And after a few moments, he hears a song coming from the door and it starts moving towards him. And it sounds like it's singing in this foreign language. And the blackness around him turns into a parade of people that look like they're rejoicing. He is elated. He feels good about this. He's like, this is amazing. He doesn't feel upset or scared or anything like that. And then he hears this writing from his right side that sounds like somebody writing down something with a quill and a piece of parchment. And he wants to ask what they're writing, but he didn't. And so the shadows are moving around, they're rejoicing, and then the scribbling stopped, and he heard a voice on his left. And the voice stated his name and then listed off every good deed that he's ever done in his life. And he said that it was like intentional or unintentional good deeds, things that were really kind and things that were just okay. Like every single thing from like the beginning of his life, they were like, these are all the good things that you did. And he felt really good. And while they're listing off all these good things, somebody's writing them down, and he doesn't know what they're writing or anything like that or what it looks like. He's just going with it. So then after they finish that, then they start listing all the bad deeds that he's done in his life. And they're like small things too. They're like, you stole a piece of candy from your sister when she was five, you know? And this made him feel really bad. In fact, it made him feel really mad. And like the quill and the ink and the paper are still scratching over there. And he's like, I just want to take that and tear it up because this doesn't feel good anymore. But he said that he just kind of sat there and trusted the process and listened to it. And he said also the voice was changing from a masculine to feminine sounding voice. And he said that it was going on like every nanosecond. So there was no like instance where he could grasp like what this voice actually sounded like because it kept on changing. Oh my God. He said that that was disorienting. It was kind of giving him a migraine whenever he was hearing it. But then they finished speaking and then it talked directly to him like he was a guidance counselor, like talking to him about going to college and what your career opportunities were going to be. The entity, the spirit, just encouraged him to stay off drugs and alcohol, just do it whenever necessary, which I don't, you know, whenever is necessary. And that it didn't mind if he skipped church on Sundays, as long as he did like some type of community service or charity work. And then they were like, call your parents. They're worried about you. They want to make sure that you're okay. And then at 4:34, his girlfriend opened the door, called his name. Both of the voices said goodbye, and the shadows stopped, the music stops, and that was the end of it. Except he heard like the chairs kind of scooting across the floor a little bit. Yeah. He said that he didn't really know what the voices were saying that were singing, but he said that he heard, and I'm going to get this wrong, and I'm sorry. But he heard Baba Yetu, I think that's what he says. And somebody had mentioned that that is like the beginning of the Lord's Prayer. And I don't know what language it is in. And it sounds like this was maybe a person who was religious or is religious. And maybe a lot of the religion kind of seeped into this. Sorry, that was my coffee pot.
Like right when that happened, my cat walked in and looked at me too. And I was like, oh shit. Like she made eye contact with me. So she's about to fuck some shit up. I know that. Oh God, here she
is. Oh, she's come to fuck you up.
All right, calm down. Just calm down. Come on.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I feel like I could do this. The only problem that I think that I have is I don't know what question I would want to ask. Do you know what question you would want to ask?
Ask a fucking question. You wouldn't do it? I'm not going to ever do it. No. And your story of that person's experience did not convince me otherwise. Like, it kept me running the other way. I would never do this. Listen, all I need to know is the answer is within me.
I mean, that's true.
I already know the answer, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to create my own destiny.
Yeah, I have the same kind of sense as that with you. Like, it's kind of weird even to ask, like, a question to tarot cards.
Oh, okay.
You know, for me, and it's not because I don't believe them or don't like them. It's because, like, I just don't know what to ask. I'm just kind of like, I know whatever's going to happen is going to happen.
Yeah.
So there's not anything like really impending. If I were going to ask a question, it would probably be something like, how do I get to this point where I want to be? What steps do I need to take?
But I feel like you already know what steps to take.
I know, but I just want to ask, like, I would do this. Like, I think that I would do this in a Airbnb, not in my own home. And like, would you be my person? Would you be the person that would get up with me at 3 a.m. to do this stuff?
I mean, I want to be there for you, but I am scared. I am scared of this. This sounds really scary.
I know.
Like, I just imagine being in the other room and being like, hearing it and like seeing your reaction. And like, I just imagine seeing like lights and everything. Mm. And I just don't trust it.
Yeah.
Like, what is the basis of this? Like, what is this rooted in?
I don't know.
Do you know?
I don't know. And that's the thing, too. So somebody did mention that the person who created this said that this was a psychological experience and not a supernatural one. So if this changes your mind at all, they said that it was not intended to be like a spiritual thing. It was intended to be a psychological thing. So the original poster who created the ritual stated himself that the persnickety little tasks you have to do to perform are all intended to get you into the right mindset. The three kings are supposed to represent your superego and ID, and you as the ego in the center, the third king. It's an introspective exercise that has produced a lot of interesting results. So does that change things? If you thought that this was more of a psychological experiment than calling spirits, would that make you think differently?
If mirrors weren't involved, perhaps. But the fact that he introduced... Sorry, my cat is trying to go after my plants. So I'm going to hold her. But the fact that he introduced mirrors... That's... what? Why? Because to me, that makes it spiritual. That's taking psychology away. Because mirrors historically have been like vessels for spirits and everything. And like, I don't think so.
There is, yeah, like mirrors are, but they're also holding a mirror up to yourself, mentally and psychologically too. It's like whenever you are faced with, this is the first thing that comes to mind, but whenever you're in a relationship and things just aren't working out and, you know, that is a opportunity to see how your behaviors and your actions are mirrored in this person. You know what I mean? So I can see mirrors being used, and I'm not trying to change your mind or anything, but I could see mirrors being used in a psychological and spiritual way, like both of them as well. And egotistical.
I mean, I hear what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Doesn't change my mind.
Okay. That's fair.
Never in my life. I will ask rocks instead. Like, what's... Lily, please don't.
Put your plants up there instead.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'll do something else. Sorry. Now, I know you're hungry. God.
You want to take a little break and give her some food?
I'm going to have to. That's... she's going to terrorize me.
Yeah, we'll just... all cut right. This part out. It's at 28, I think.
Dear God, the wrath of a hungry cat. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean.
They're insane.
I know. They're relentless.
They are insane.
Relentless. They don't give a fuck.
They are relentless. They're like, I'm going to destroy everything you love.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make you watch it out of reach, too. Like, God.
Yeah. I get it.
Well, that was very interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, I can be your person from afar. I don't think I could physically be there.
Okay, so you're telling me that you couldn't be the person to call me out or, like, wake up at 3:30 in the morning with me?
And physically be there? I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't know about that.
I appreciate your honesty in that. I just have a, I don't know, like, I have a pretty close relationship with the dark, and I'm not really afraid of mirrors. And I think that I faced that. Because I used to intentionally turn off the lights except for like a little bit of dim light and look in mirrors. Like I've done this for the past couple of years, and there's like, these hallucinations that you can get whenever you look in a dark mirror, like your face gets distorted and it changes. And so me knowing that that can happen and you know, that is in my mind and I can face that, I just don't feel as scared about it anymore. So I do think that I could do this, but I need somebody who would voluntarily want to be my person to help me with that. And it has to be somebody that cares about you. It can't just be like a stranger.
Yeah. I mean, I don't look in the mirror at night.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no way. And I've always been scared of the dark. I was one of those people that like slept with the lights on.
Yeah.
And I still sometimes will do it, especially if I'm in an unfamiliar place. Like I won't turn the lights out.
Yeah.
So I just don't think, I'm too scared. I'm too scared to help you.
That's okay. It's totally fine.
I kind of have, in my opinion, it's kind of on the same wavelength of your story.
Oh.
And I actually had a question for you too.
Oh, cool.
And I don't know how many people did this or if people still do it, but did you ever have a sleepover at a church?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did too. Mm-hmm. I went to one.
Oh, did you, lock-in.
Did anything weird happen?
No. Okay. Except somebody fell in love with me.
Was it your first boyfriend?
I don't know if he was my first boyfriend. He was my long distance boyfriend.
Yeah. When we lived
in Georgetown.
In Troy? Oh, Georgetown.
Yeah, he lived in Troy. It was that guy.
Oh, when we were in Georgetown. I know exactly who you're talking
about. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Somebody fell in love with me.
They just saw me for who I was.
I had one and I was older and nothing happened at mine besides me talking to the pastor and being like, I don't believe in God. And
that's
like
a great
being
place.
A total moron.
That's a great place for that to happen.
Yeah, I was not that I was a moron because I didn't believe in God at the time, but just that I didn't even know how to talk about it.
Like, I just challenged
him. This is not real.
Immediately.
That's all. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know what? I did have one weird experience in a church, and it was whenever I was in Girl Scouts, and we were having a ceremony at there for whatever reason, and I had to go to the bathroom, and it was dark. They didn't have the effing lights on for us.
Terrible.
Right?
Yes.
And so I went to the bathroom, and I was so terrified because of the lights being off everywhere else except the bathroom, and I washed my hands, which is very surprising because I don't think that was normal for me as a child. And I had the paper towel and the lights turned off and I couldn't like get it in the trash can. So I just ran out and I was going back to where everybody was and I just threw my paper towel behind a door that was open because I was too scared. And a stupid mom saw me. And the stupid mom was like, excuse me, I saw you do that. Go back. And then, like, she followed me to make sure that I did it. But, like, I was still scared and all the lights were out. And she was like, keep going. And, like, made me, like, go in the dark and Aww. Do everything. And I was like, what a little bitch. But then the worst thing that happened after that was we had the ceremony and we had our sashes on. Mm-hmm. And as I walked across the stage, my sash fell off my shoulder. It went down around my feet. And like, I just shuffled across the stage.
Oh, that's adorable. You were such a tiny child.
I was always real little. Yeah. People don't believe me. I used to keep track of my weight by what grade I was in and I'd multiply it by 10.
Yeah. You were really small.
It was very small. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I did that up until the eighth grade.
Oh, wow.
And then in the eighth grade, I finally made it to like 90 pounds.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, I was real little.
Yeah.
But either way, I found a few stories of people who have had weird experiences in churches.
Oh, cool.
That I wanted to share.
I thought you were going to be like a few in other the people bathroom.
Oh, no. That is the worst place to have a scary experience, though.
Yeah.
I thought this one was really interesting. It's pretty short. But there was a guy who was working in the church, and he says that he always like has to shut the church down at the end of the day, and that he hates to be there, especially when it's dark. Mm-hmm. And that he had the same experience that I did, where it was just uncomfortable. He always felt like he was being watched, and he was in the main part of the church, and all the lights were out, but there were the candles that were still lit at the front. So he had to go up front to go, you know, blow them out. So he went and he blew them out, and he just like booked it. And he was just terrified to be in there. And he claims that there is something always watching him, and he doesn't like to be there after dark. And he says what makes this like very interesting is that he is the pastor of the church.
Oh my God.
I know.
Dude.
And that's what I really liked, is that he's the freaking pastor. Yeah. And he's like terrified to be in there, and he won't go in there after night anymore.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy. But then I found another story of a group that had a sleepover in a church.
Oh.
I wonder if they still do this anymore. I don't even know.
Yeah.
Like, was this a 90s thing?
Yeah, it's a church lock. Like, that's, they called it a church lock-in. I wonder if it's a Texas thing, too.
Oh,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Or if it's a Southern thing. Like, maybe. I don't know. I can look it up.
I could see it being a Southern thing. They're like, let's get all the kids and make them sleep in the church together. Sorry.
Yeah, I know. Like, it is a weird concept. I mean, there was adults there, too. But I don't know what they... I don't know. Like, we didn't learn anything. You know, we just played.
It was just a big sleepover.
Yeah, it was fun.
And it was males and females.
Yep.
But so, in this church sleepover, they separated the boys from the girls.
Oh, bummer.
So, I know. All of the girls... Because we all know we just went to go hang out with the boys.
Exactly.
All of the girls went to the nursery, and all the guys went to the gym.
That's bullshit.
And pretty much.
I'm sorry.
Like, you don't think it happened?
No, I think that it's like the boys get to. This is definitely like a gender-based thing, right? The boys get to go to the gym, and the girls get in, go into the nursery. That's just how I saw it. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Sorry.
Well, I think, yeah, I would have preferred to be in the gym in this instance, but there was one guy who couldn't sleep. And it was like the gym had windows that surrounded it. And, it, you know, there were other rooms on the other side, but the gym doors were locked, so you couldn't go over there. But he kept seeing, like, flashing lights coming from the other rooms. Mm. And then he kept seeing, like, shadows of people walking.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And so he left the gym and wouldn't go back in. And he went and found the pastor. And then the girls, at the same time, they were in the nursery. And the door was closed to the nursery, and there was a one-way mirror or a one-way window. I don't know what they're called.
Yeah.
But it's where, yeah, it looks like a mirror in your room, but through the other side, people can see you. Mm-hmm. So in the nursery, it looked like the mirror where they would look at themselves, but the parents could walk by and look in on their kids, which I think is kind of a cool concept.
Yeah.
And then the kids wouldn't get upset, you know, when they saw their parents looking in at them. And so it was right next to the door.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the sudden, the girls started to hear yelling and banging in the hallway. And they heard, like, stomping in the hallway, and they heard banging, and they're a little freaked out. A few of them thought maybe it was the guys that were doing it. And they were looking towards the door where that two-way, where that one-way mirror was. And as they were looking, they all saw two faces looking at them in the mirror, grinning.
Oh.
Yeah. They were scared to run towards the door because at the same time they heard banging and yelling. But one girl did get up. She opened the door and they heard the stomping even louder. And she peeked her head out and there was nobody there. Mm. So the girls are screaming. They're all hysterical. They're very concerned. And the pastor came up there and just started yelling at them and told them it was their imaginations and to drop it. And that was their story of the sleepover in the church.
That's spooky.
I know. Jeez. I never had an experience like that. We just went, you know, because I wanted a boy to like me.
Yeah, I know, right? Like, I went with my friend.
And then to be like, I don't believe in God. I'm different.
I came here for marriage. I came here to look for the love of my life.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And then I'm going to go to a church. I don't believe in God. But I was going to go to a church and find the love of my life, like he said.
I did that, Lindsay. Actually, I did that at a church camp. I went with my friend. And I was like, and I told her before we went, I was like, I don't know if I believe in God. It was whenever you started to stop believing. And like what you had said kind of like resonated with me. And I was like, I don't think I believe in God. Do you think I should even go? And she's like, yeah, it'll be fun. And I think that she thought that it would just change my mind. But I like voiced my opinion to some people and it got them.
And everybody hated you.
They didn't hate me, but they like got really worried about me. Oh, and I got sat down and I had a conversation. And she did this to me. She goes, and she like kissed, like did that to my forehead.
That your friend?
No, this is a woman that I had, a girl my age that I had just met.
Oh.
Because she was concerned about me.
I went to a church camp with a friend one time too.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think my friend wanted, I think they did it on purpose. Like I remember mom and dad paid for it. I got my room assignment or my cabin or whatever. Mm-hmm. And when we got there, my friend wasn't in their same cabin.
Oh, no.
She was put in a different cabin than me, but I went with her.
Mm-hmm.
And then the whole time we were there, like, she didn't hang out with me. She hung out with everybody in her cabin. And, like, I don't know what the plan was. I don't know why they invited me or if they were trying to get me to make new friends or maybe she decided she didn't want me to go and they switched her cabin.
Yeah.
But, like, she just ignored me the whole time. It was a miserable experience for me. And I remember them, all we did was, like, sing songs.
Mm-hmm. We sang a lot.
We just sang songs the whole time. And then we had a costume contest. Mm-hmm. And I dressed up like the orange-haired girl from the Flintstones.
Mm-hmm.
Is that Wilma?
I don't know.
I was Wilma, I think. Mm-hmm. And they were having a contest on who could, like, giggle like her or something. Because I think the theme was supposed to be Stone Age or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a really good job. I had like the best impression. And then I got up there and I was so terrified that I just fucked it up. And I remember when I was done, they were like, okay. Because I think I did like, or something like, not even close. And I remember getting off the stage and being like, fuck, you really could do a good impression. Why did you do that? Mm. And I was like, I hate it here. And I tried to go home and they wouldn't let me.
Yeah, I remember that.
They did the whole thing where they wouldn't let me use the phone. Yeah. And then our mom found out and like was furious that they didn't let me have access to the phone, which really is dumb of them.
Mm-hmm.
That's really dangerous.
Yeah, it is. That's.
Anyways, I don't know why I shared that story. Sorry, it was kind of boring. But I guess that's all the stories we have. Hey.
Yeah, that was fun. So
that's all.
So Lindsay, you're not going to do the Three Kings ritual with me.
Hell no.
Yeah. Don't have a question. I don't have a question. No more church lock-ins. You lost the Betty Rubble competition, and that's very sad. But you had a great experience with a pet psychic.
It all worked out in the end.
Yeah. Yeah, so I guess thanks everybody for joining us. And like I said, if you have a story to share, send it to us. Subscribe to our channel. Share it with your friends. Give us a rating and a review if that calls to you. Give us a good one if you like. And I guess we'll see you next time.
Yeah. And we have videos on YouTube now if you want to watch.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah. We're doing it all. Yeah. All right. Have a good week.
Bye.